Our scripture reading this morning will come from Psalms 121, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved, but he keeps you. You will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on the right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. And amen.
Let's pray together again. Our great and gracious God, we thank you for your word that is eternal. Even though these words from the Psalms have been spoken so many years ago, your spirit can apply them to our lives today. So, Lord, we pray that in this moment that this psalm would speak deep to our hearts and in so doing guide our steps from this point forward into eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I would begin by mentioning, if you're paying attention to the bulletin, you'll notice that's not the psalm that I had listed there. I had started down a path of doing a teaching on the 72nd Psalm because it was in the lectionary and decided that wasn't really a good reason. And this psalm is one of my favorites, so I pray it speaks to your heart today as we begin this series on praying the Psalms. But to begin, I would ask a question. Have you ever started out on one of those projects where when you look at it in the beginning, everything is good and it's easy and you know what steps to take and everything's going well until you get part of the way into it and you realize that this thing is not what I thought it was. Amen. And so when I was looking at this psalm this week, it reminded me of a few years ago when we began the process of going into pastoral ministry. I had been in ministry for many years, and I was a hired hand, if you will, at a church in Ohio. I was on paid staff, but I had not began the process of being appointed as a pastor. And so when we, as a family, began that process, and I say as a family because even though I'm the pastor up here speaking, my family, like it or not, has to go where I'm called, and I hope they like it. So far at this point, they have. But so when we began that process, we surrendered to God, and if the door opened, we'd go wherever the door would open, and we were praying in this direction, honestly, partly because we had Grandma and Grandpa up this way, and we wanted our boys to be a little closer to them, and so if a door opened in Western New York, we would step through that. Well, one evening, we got that call, but I was still paying for a mortgage on a house in Ohio, and trusting that God would sell that home for us. And in hindsight right now, I can confirm that he did. But when I was in the middle of it, for a year, at that time, every month would come and I would get my pen out and I would write that mortgage check and I was paying for a house I wasn't living in. And boy, that was tough. And that was one of those that took a lot of faith to recognize someday I will stop writing these checks. And somebody else will come and be blessed to have this home. And so, as I said, in hindsight, it took about a year, and we got to the point to where the right family was able to buy the home, and they had a lot of children and a big yard, and it all worked out. But in the process, as we were going through that, as we took that first step to begin to sell, we would have to paint some things, and we would have to hammer some things, and we would have to hire someone to adjust some things. And then at one point they came back and said, sorry, but you need to update your septic system for about $10,000. And I said, time out. We're not doing that. You know, if God wants this house to sell, it will sell as it is. and we're going to stay on that. And so eventually it did. And the gentleman who bought it said they would update that part of the house. So it was one of those things that reminded me, when you make a commitment to the Lord, sometimes when you get into it, you begin to realize it's not as easy as you thought it might be. On the front end, the reality is that pursuing God is an amazing thing, because our God is gracious and holy and righteous and true and loving and all of the things that we desire to be by following after Him. But sometimes when we get in the midst of it, we can determine and find out that pursuing God can be pretty challenging. In fact, I think it's safe to say it may challenge you and I to change some of our priorities, some of our loyalties, some of our decision making. Sometimes it'll affect how I look at and love other people in ways that I would not look at and love them before I began following after the Lord. Sometimes it may go against the flow of what society says is okay, and some of my decisions and comments and teaching and things that may not be very popular. Sometimes it causes even danger and persecution in people's lives and possibly our own at some time if we stand in the conviction of truth and love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it may even cause others to doubt what you are doing and get you into a place to where you are just frustrated. And you may want to say, Lord, I've had enough of this. I cannot do this. And so God gives us an encouraging word from His word to keep us moving forward, to keep pursuing Him, if you will, in the midst of all of those life experiences. And today, if you have your scripture and have your Bible open, I would say this is one of those Psalms that's particularly about that pressing on in the midst of a lot of pressure. In this translation that I read from, it's titled, My Help Comes from the Lord. And so my purpose, if I could sum it up in having this series in the first place, is I want to begin to get you thinking on praying the Scriptures. And Psalms, the book of Psalms is the perfect place to begin, because it's a book of songs that are prayers. And so we begin there by looking at one that is an encouraging psalm today. My help comes from the Lord. Now, with that in mind, let me give a little bit of background in starting, just for context, to help us gain an idea of what this psalm really meant to those who penned it so many years ago. It's a psalm of ascents, what it's called, and I learned from my own studying this week, actually, that it is one of 14 psalms from Psalm 120 to 134 that are referred to as psalms of ascent. What does that mean? Well, in Jewish tradition, there would have been a pilgrimage that faithful Jews, particularly men, were required to make at least once a year to the Temple Mount, which was an ascent, quite an ascent. It wasn't just a short trip up. For some, they would travel hundreds of miles on this pilgrimage to make that ascent to Jerusalem, to the temple, to make their offerings to God. All of the men would have been required to go, so that would have meant they would have brought their families, and it would have been quite a journey for many to come through the desert, to say the least. And so this psalm was one of those prayers that they prayed from the heart, that they sang from the heart as they were making their way on that pilgrimage up to the Temple Mount. They had no option for things like Southwest Airlines, or to catch a bus, or to get on a taxi, or to drive their van or their four-wheel drive through the desert. It was either feet or foal. It was donkey or walking. And it was hundreds of miles through a hot, dangerous climate in the desert where animals could have been a threat, and even robbers. It's been noted that many of them could have been attacked by robbers because they knew this group was carrying significant funds to make their offering to God in the temple. And so that's the context of where this psalm, this prayer begins, as we look at this short prayer of where my help comes from. There were no rest stops. There would have been no bathrooms, no McDonald's, none of that. My boys would have fizzled out pretty early on, I think. Maybe I would have too. But that's the context of where this comes out of, a heartfelt rending of, my help comes from the Lord. And so I want you to hear that because it's a very serious context of the fact that there are real obstacles in the way of these pilgrims as they make their way to the temple for worship. And so as you and I are pursuers of God today, we will face things unexpected. Amen? Amen. That's a given in this life. There will be things unexpected that just come up that we face. You might actually sometimes think or convince yourself that once you become a believer in Jesus, certain things will just go away, like bad health and marital struggles and rebellious children, and the list goes on and on. But the reality is they don't go away. Spiritual doubt and dryness are things that we may even experience a long way down the path as we walk with Jesus Christ in this life. And so as we think of this powerful prayer today, a song of encouragement, I want to consider at least four things that you can take home with you today as you think about praying the scriptures. You may find more than that if you study it on your own. But first of all, let me say I believe that what we find in the opening of this psalm is that we need to seek God in the mountains. Let me say that again. We need to seek God in the mountains. And let me give a little bit of explanation to that to clarify, because this psalm, for some reason, has spoken to me for years. And I think even before I became a believer years ago, when I would study some of the scriptures, questioning and looking and seeking, that this is one that just kind of rose to the surface for some reason. In fact, I think even after I became a believer and went to serve in ministry in Kentucky, there were times I can recall even now sitting out on a hillside looking across the valley and seeing the mountains rise up on the other side, that it just, what a comfort, what an encouragement, what strength it was in seeing, you know, God spoke and all this came into being. So it was inspiring. And then I was blessed for a summer to go out to Montana and to do a chaplaincy program in Glacier National Park. And the mountains out there are even more majestic and just wide open and huge. And just a reminder that God has the power to speak and these things come into being. And so oftentimes I would look at this psalm and I would think that, you know, it is an inspiration to look to the hills, but actually, when I studied it a little closer this week, I realized that's not at all where the psalmist is going with this. In fact, he's not saying, I'm looking to the mountains for inspiration. What he is saying is these mountains represent danger for this pilgrimage that we are on. And so in the context, the mountain was a challenge, not a blessing. And so it's more along the lines of this. When I look to the hills, I need help. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord with a capital L, who made the heavens and the earth. That's where he begins. And so he sees this great obstacle in front of him, and he realizes as he's singing, as he's praying, that I can't conquer this thing, but I know the one who can, and I trust in him today. And so sometimes we find in life that whenever we get on this pilgrimage of life, there will be dangers that come unexpectedly into our path. And we might even find ourselves in frightful situations along the journey where you think, you know, I'm almost there. I've got this one cut out, and there it is. All of a sudden, the mountain comes into our view. And what do? You know, we plan for things in this life. We plan for career changes. We plan to buy vehicles. We plan to save to go to college. We plan to buy properties and homes. We plan for children to be born and to come. We plan for things that will help us prosper. We plan to save for the future. We don't plan to be fired. We don't plan for bankruptcy. We don't plan for physical sickness to seep into our bodies. We don't plan for cancer. We don't plan to lose a child unexpectedly. We don't plan for a loved one to walk away from Christ. But these things come. And so it's that mountain that seems impossible to pass over when it seeps into your life, and we can be exhausted by dread as we see no way around this thing. It's just there. All of a sudden, out of nowhere. And so when the psalmist feels overwhelmed and when he feels that challenge before him, he doesn't freak out, so to speak. In fact, he doesn't turn and run and hide or any of that. What he does is turn to the Lord. He turns to the one who is the creator of heaven and of earth. And oftentimes, I'm afraid we do the opposite when the mountain looms in our path. In fact, sometimes one of the faulty responses I think that we often have is one that says, God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. Some folks claim it's in the Bible, but it's not. You won't find that in the Scriptures. In fact, our pride can be a danger to keep us from asking the only true source for the help that we need, because sometimes we think God may be annoyed if I ask Him for this thing, so I'm going to work it out myself. When in fact, the blessing comes in the asking. And so in pride, you and I will either run away or we will try to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and say, let's get this thing done, when in a sense, we don't even have it in ourselves to begin the doing. And that's where the psalmist was at that point. We find these challenges that come nowhere out of life, but the psalmist's prayer is a cry for help that is answered. And so you and I need to constantly seek God's Spirit to empower and strengthen us as we pray first and then study the Scriptures secondly. But in this sense, I think we can do both kind of interlocking as we pray through the Scriptures. Most recently, our evening ritual has gotten to where, as we get ready for bedtime, I'll read with Caleb and Heather will read with Joshua. It just seems to work well that way right now. And so I'll read a little bit and then I'll hand him the book and he'll read a little bit and we'll switch back and forth for a half an hour or so. And then at the end, we've gotten to where we've been challenging each other in the Psalms. I'll let him pick one. He'll read through it. And then I'll tell him to personalize it. You know, rather than saying, the Lord does this, he'll find a way to pray it, oh Lord, you do this. And so he's making that psalm into a prayer. And it's amazing how easily we can apply that word that was written so long ago to our lives today and begin to pray into the Scriptures in a way that brings it to life to us in our own personal situations. And so we pray first, we look at the Scripture, we don't go to Google or Oprah or any of the others first to seek advice or wisdom. We pray to the Lord, we seek the Scriptures, the living eternal Word of God, and then we seek guidance and prayer in Christian community. You know, you have the ability and the right and the authority, if the Spirit is moving in your life, to speak truth into someone else's life that will bring healing and wholeness and power and strength and authority and abundant life through a spoken word and vice versa. And so we need to be about doing those three things first if we're really pursuing God in this life. We need to be praying. We need to be studying. We need to be in Christian community together. And if these things are just an afterthought, then you and I really aren't seeking after God. But if we are pursuing these things, we are pursuing the one who is our help in all things. So just know we are always better off in seeking out first our Lord, no matter what situation you find yourself facing in this life today. And He will reveal a way for you to climb that mountain. Amen? He will. I know He will. So seek God in the mountains. There's another story of a little boy went to a candy store one day, and the gentleman behind the counter, very large man, had a glass jar sitting up there with a bunch of suckers on the counter, and as he was leaving, he took the lid off and told the little boy, reach in and grab you a handful. And then he wouldn't move, and his mom said, he told you to reach in, go ahead and get some. He still wouldn't move. And so the big man reached in and he pulled out a handful, and the little boy had to use both hands and he put them all in his hands and he walked out the door. And when they got outside, his mother says, why didn't you listen to him and reach in? He said, because I knew his hands are bigger than mine. That's the way our Father is. His hands are bigger than mine. He can handle it and He can do what is needful in any given situation. Number two, God is in control. Now that sounds like a cliche or something on a bumper sticker or a bracelet or just a nice saying, but it is so true. Even from these first two verses, he is the one that we lift our eyes to, where our help comes from, who made heaven and earth. It's all his. He made it. And he has control over it, even though sometimes, you know, I get the fact that I live in a world that when I just look with my physical eyes, there's a lot of brokenness and bad stuff going on, and it makes it seem like God's not in control. But that's not true. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says this of Jesus, who is the same ones being spoken of in the psalm, where it says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Now, as I said, I understand our world is broken, but ultimately God has a perfect plan for your life and mine that will work out and will work through. So here's the question. What are you dealing with right now? Is it outside the realm of heaven or earth? Because if it's in either of those realms, he's got it, because he created them. He is in control of both. According to the scripture, according to this prayer, God is in control. So we can be certain that God is bigger than what you and I are facing and has a way to deal with our struggles. So the question becomes, can you put the unknown questions into his hands today and be good with that? Can you? You don't have to understand it. You don't have to even completely believe that he has the power to deal. You just have to have faith to know that he does. We don't have to have a complete understanding. Whatever you're facing right now, believe that God is in control of that today. This prayer reminds us of that truth. You know, folks, it's like yesterday we were blessed to be at a homeschool picnic where we sat across the picnic table from another couple. One of the ladies has epilepsy, just like my son. For many years, she's been dealing with it. And her husband was talking about how angry he was for so many years. For 10, 15 years, he just wanted to, you know, "God, show me how to fix this thing. I can't fix it." And then he said in 2014, he came to the realization one day that, "Honestly, I can't fix it. So this is yours, God. I'm giving it to you, and I'm trusting that she is yours. She is your daughter. You love her. You care for her. And whether she gets rid of this epilepsy or not, you will care over her. So this is yours, and I'm done." And he said it was amazing how the weight just went away in that day whenever he was able to give that over to the Lord. God is in control. Number three, trust in God's promise today. Trust in God's promise. Now, God makes many promises, but in this psalm in particular, beginning in verse 3, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." Trust in God's promise to guard over you. We can't only just remember those promises as something in the past. We have to see them as something active right now in this moment, that God is guarding over you. See, one of his promises is to use his power to guard you. He always has an eye on his children. If you're walking with Jesus today, if you love the Lord, if you've given your heart and life to him, he has his eye on you. He is caring over you. He will make a way for everything that comes and gets in your way. The dangers of the sun. In ancient days, the reason it says that, and even I would say today, the sun presents a physical danger. And so in that time, in that culture, as they were on that pilgrimage going out across the desert, there was danger from being exposed to the sun, from being harmed by the sun, from being overexposed by the sun. So it represents a physical danger. The moon that he mentions represents a spiritual danger, because if you think about it, the word lunacy, which we associate with mental issues and problems, comes from the same word as lunar or moon. And so in that culture, to be protected by the sun was physical protection, but to be protected by the moon was a spiritual protection. It was a covering that God had on his people completely. And so today we have this wonderful promise that we hear from the writer of the book of Hebrews, who tells us, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, folks, when I'm honest, there are times whenever I do worry about what man can do to me. But most of the time, I'm good with that God has got my situation guarded and covered and everything is under control. But I also get the fact that sometimes we do experience harm. We do experience sickness. We do experience shortcomings in this life. But let's look at it this way. Even if I lose my life, even if I physically lose my life for the sake of Christ, he will guard what he has entrusted in me until that day I see him face to face. So he's still guarding over me, no matter what happens to me in this life. Amen? And so we can trust this promise today that he has guarded our lives completely. Now, it doesn't mean, once again, that the mountain of suffering and sickness will not come into the life of a Christian. That's not what I'm saying at all today. In fact, what I'm saying is, even in the midst of that, he gives us abundant life. And he gives us victory in the midst of the struggles that you and I will face in this life, as no one else can give us. And so then lastly, from this psalm today, I see that if we desire to keep moving forward in our pursuit of God, if we desire to keep stepping it forward, if we desire to keep going after him passionately, we have to believe the destination is worth it. We have to believe that there is a purpose, and that no matter what comes to you and me in this life, we have to believe that pursuing God is always worth it above anything and everything. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. In verse 8, the Lord will keep you from going out. He will keep your going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let me say today that word forevermore is essential, because you and I know that we are eternal beings in Christ Jesus. And so when the Bible speaks of things eternal, the Lord is drawing my vision from horizontal to vertical. He's reminding me that this is not all that there is. That in a sense, if we were to timeline this life, there would be a short line about this long with a dot, and then for the rest, you would never be able to see the end, because we are eternal beings with an eternal purpose. And you know, ultimately, that goal is to be with him in the end. That's where we're heading. And so the psalmist says this, forever and ever you're going out, you're coming in, from this time forth and forevermore, the Lord will guide and lead you. Ultimately, though, there may be some who are lost in the mountains not believing in this fact. And for those pilgrims, the ascent to the temple was such a sacred thing that it represented them coming into the actual presence of God. So it wasn't about a religious exercise. It wasn't about the fact that we're going to deliver these funds for an offering. It wasn't about the fact that we get to worship. It wasn't about the fact necessarily that we get to be a wonderfully sharing Christian or holy community at that time. It was more about the fact that they literally believed the presence of God would be there, manifest in that temple. And so no matter what's in my way, no matter what the mountain is, I'm going through it. I'm going to make it to that temple. I'm going to be there with him. And so as Christians, we believe, as the Apostle Paul writes, that our bodies are that very temple that houses the Holy Spirit. And so we change because of what he is doing from the inside out. Even though I say that, and I believe that, and I trust that, there are days when I would just like to throw in the towel, when Satan and my flesh and the world is just hitting hard up against me. And that's enough, Lord. I've just had enough. And so this psalm reminds me that no matter what, the promise to those who walk with Jesus is that he is the one who will care over And he is the one that will do exactly what we are promised in the book of Revelation, where he says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. This is your perfect hope. This is my perfect hope. So let me ask you as we close today, what are you facing? What is it that you're facing that's that mountain in the path? Now, I won't sit here and minimize your struggles or what you're going through or your challenges, but I will encourage you to keep on keeping on and keep on stepping and keep on pursuing and keep on recognizing that God desires for you to follow hard after him, though it only begins with that commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as in our brokenness, we simply come to him and repent and confess and receive all that he has for us. If that's the case, then he desires you today to pursue these steps. Seek him in the mountains, in those dark, deep places. Trust that he is in control. And that's not just some cliche. Believe his promise, and then believe that the destination is worth it. That we are on a journey just like these very pilgrims were to the temple, except our temple is an eternal home with Christ Jesus. Let's personalize this today as we close. Let's pray this prayer together. Oh God, we thank you for the reminder that you are surely with us. You are the creator of heaven and earth. Your word simply reminds us that we bring all of our joys and our sorrows and our dreams and our fears, even our hopes and our anxieties before you, knowing that your hands are the best place of all for these things. And so thank you. Oh God, we thank you that you watch over our coming and our going, as this word promises, and that you neither slumber nor sleep. You don't take your eye off of us. God, we thank you for your constant care. You will protect us from the sun by day and the moon by night. Both physical and spiritual needs are met in you. Oh God, you hold our lives in your hands, and that you are our help and our strength in daily battles that we face. And so we thank you that you are our protector. You are our defender against the schemes of the enemy and the evil that tries to overtake us in this life. Lord, we believe that no weapon formed against us will prosper in this life, because you are always greater and our lives are hidden with Christ Jesus. And so we are safe with you. And so, Lord, today we choose to keep our eyes off of our problems and to fix them solely on you. We choose to look up, for you alone are our hope. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.